You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
All hail to teachers, because when they have to, they will do whatever it takes, because you know what they're thinking about primarily? The kids at that school. That's what they're thinking about. Well, this teacher is being hailed as a hero for running to warn parents of danger. She wasn't in school, but she knew it was about time that the school was going to be letting out. And what she saw in the sky was pretty terrifying. Tornado. She's in Texas. She took off her shoes, and she took off running down the street. Somebody, it's so compelling because somebody got a photograph of it, and she's wearing what they call a, I think it's a kimono. It's a, you know, it's not a sweater, it's not a jacket, you know what I'm talking about. But it's fairly long, and of course it's flailing in the breeze, similar to a cape. It looks like she's running down the street barefoot, and you can see the funnel cloud in the background behind these houses coming down. And she knew that parents were going to be showing up to pick up their kids on a cloudy, rainy afternoon, not knowing that there was impending great danger coming. And she took off running down the street. God bless her. And sure enough, I mean, she told them, get back inside, you know, all that. But barefoot, just amazing and incredible. And, of course, the pic went viral. Of course it did. There's even a picture of before the tornado and during the tornado. There it goes. So people were like, I just got to share this with you, because she goes into shelter mode. You know, that's what she was running to tell them all. Go into shelter mode. But now it's kind of lighthearted and funny, because, you know, at the time it was not. And she knew the real danger that was there, you know. So it's kind of cool. She said, no wonder they made me run all the way to their window before rolling it down. Anyway, it's kind of neat.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
Well, it is over for a North Carolina man. They had a Powerball winner. North Carolina man won Powerball, $344 million. $344 million. And he's a good old boy, you know. I mean, just by looking at him, I'm sorry, I'm from there. I know, you know. He's probably farmed a few fields and, you know, busted a couple of knuckles on some tractor part or something. I don't know. But he said, I'm going to buy a new pair of jeans and give some money to charity.
Awesome.
Love your broadcast. Love your show. Love the station. God bless you guys, and thank you.
The Sound of Life.
North Carolina man won the Powerball. Yeah, $344 million. He said, as he tilted his ball cap back, I'm going to get me a new pair of jeans. That's exactly what he said. I am not making that up. And he said, I'm going to give some to charity, too. You know, and I thought, what are you going to do with the 340? Anyway. And it reminded me of an account that I heard. This is a true, absolutely true story. And you got to remember, I grew up in North Carolina. So I know them. I probably know that guy. But I met a guy in our church years ago who came from Central Florida, and he worked at Grumman. And they make airplane, you know, you may know that. They have a big place out on Long Island. But at this place, I guess they painted the parts and things. So, unfortunately, this man that he knew, my friend knew, had like an airplane wing fall on him or something like that. Because he said, well, he had $1 million settlement from the insurance company or the company, and it was because of that accident that he had working. This is what he was going to do. And I bring this up, and I think, you know, I almost think we should have lotteries just so we can just see how precious people are. You won $344 million. Get me a new pair of jeans. This man said, I'm going, he won $1 million, you know, not winning, he's awarded $1 million. And he said, I'm going to add on a room to my trailer so that I don't have to sleep with my dad doing in the same room. And I'm going to get my pickup truck painted.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Who told you I was clever?
Oh, all your friends at the studio told me.
Oh, drat.
The Sound of Life.
So yesterday, or every day, I get a media leader to pray for, basically in alphabetical order, starting with the A's in January, going through the year. And always with the media leader is a cultural influencer. Usually it's someone who is an actor or a singer. Today, I think it's Faith Hill is the singer. She's the cultural influencer, usually a movie director. I was trying to think who. Oh, yeah, I know. Peter, I think of the guy that did the Lord of the Rings thing. Anyway, he's the media leader to pray for today. Yesterday, it was Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu. He's a big-time director. He did Birdman, The Revenant. Anyway, so he's a big-time movie director. But here's the thing. The cultural influencer was Ryan Higa. Who's Ryan? Nobody ever heard of Ryan Higa. Not a singer that I'm aware of, but he sure likes to make YouTube content, and he's a YouTube content creator. I never thought I'd see a YouTube content creator as an influencer, a cultural influencer. And then I get an email a couple of days ago from Axis, AXIS. Maybe you're familiar with them. I look at them. I don't know if I've said anything about them. Kind of feeling them out over the last several months, which is probably a year. And what they do is they try to get in on the conversation, the cultural conversation of the youth, and they prepare parental guides for you to talk to your children and stuff. They are here to help you navigate today's culture and content with your teen through meaningful conversations that last a lifetime. And yes, I was reading that from their website, which is very simple, axis.org. They're out of Colorado Springs, Axis, AXIS.org. And they were talking about what your child wants to be when they grow up. Now, it's a very good possibility that your child wants to be. Are you ready for this? No, that's not the one. Are you ready for this? There we go. Your child probably wants to be a cultural influencer, because that's the people that they watch. I watched guys spin plates on Ed Sullivan back in the day, or Jackie Gleason in an orchestra. People wanted to be in the band, you know, and we watched the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show and stuff. Nowadays, it's YouTube content. What is in there? I don't know. Exactly. I just look at how to change light bulbs on a car. That's the only videos I look at. So that's what they're talking about, though. They will be so influenced on how to live their lives from cultural influencers on YouTube. I just thought it was pretty important, and I thought I might share that with you, and you can check them out right away when you go to that website. They'll want to know. Somebody will come on there and want to know if you want to start a conversation. You can. They talk about Snapchat, Fortnite, smartphones. There's a conversation model, stuff like that. It's right there on axis.com.
The Sound of Life.
We're talking about joy. And Ann said, how in the world can we expect joy all the time? Struggle. And here's the thing. We're looking in the Bible. We're James giving instructions. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. What? And you're like, wow. You know, it's something that you fight for all the time is joy. You just really do. You fight for it. Here's another one. Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing in a letter to the church in Philippi, in Philippians. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. See, you're gnawing your lip and your body is howling because no man can live without joy. That's what Thomas Aquinas said, and it's true, isn't it? Glass broken everywhere. You're kneeling down in your despair. It's flooding, according to Anne. You know, here's the thing though. If you take action and rejoice, remember that word rejoice is a verb. These are not pulsing emotions, and you may not always feel joy. God asks you to give thanks in all things because he knows that the feelings of joy begin in the action of thanksgiving. I've heard there's been a billion testimonies through the years of that very same thing right there. And Anne was saying that after she went through this terrible time and being upset at her son and the broken glass everywhere and the fact that she was examining this idea of joy and how do we, she said, I just coveting getting it back. So anyway, it's quite a devotional that Ann came through, and I don't want to say too much right there and make it too confusing. But joy, it always starts with obedience to us. You know, it's not a game of Pollyanna. It's a hard-edged blade. It really is. Only you can kill the joy in you. And it's about being obedient. And I want to teach you a word, and it's a Greek word, and the Greek is really cool. If I start it right, I had it down. Yeah, Eucharisteo. That's the word right there. Eucharisteo. It means to be grateful, to give thanks. Eucharisteo. Okay? Look at what Jesus did. He broke the bread and he gave thanks. Right? You check it out. I'm going to post it on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page there, and you'll see it in your news feed. You can check it out whenever you get an opportunity. Maybe read it through like I did about 3 or 4 times, and it'll get inside of you, and then you'll learn how to get joy through obedience.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
You probably know I quote Tim Keller a lot. He's been a really pretty influential person in Manhattan. He's a pastor at Redeemer Presbyterian Church. I don't think he's in the pulpit, as they say, anymore, but I know he's still there. At least I think he is. But his wisdom has drawn people to spiritual things and the way he approached it. It's kind of like he'll say something, you know, and then you're like, oh, yeah, that does make sense. There have been some pretty high-profile people that have gone in that church and heard the good news, or as Mercy Me sings, best news ever. Pretty cool. He said something today. He said, the more you rejoice in your own forgiveness, the quicker you will be to forgive others.
The Sound of Life is priceless to me.
The Sound of Life.
Having a little fun, because Hallmark's having a little bit of fun, you know. What did they have? Any original Christmas movies did they have last year starting about now? No, it was a little bit after now, it seemed. I think it was 40. 40. Some of those were filmed in our listening area, you know. And we had to, it's funny when they put out snow when there's not normally snow, you know, and then later when there is snow, it's too cold to film. Anyway. But that's not the point of the story. They are kicking off the Christmas season early, of course, and they're going to air 2 original Christmas films next month. This has been confirmed. The 2 new movies, I have to always laugh when I say the 2 new movies, are part of the record-breaking 40 Christmas films that Hallmark will release this year. Hallmark Movies and Mysteries will premiere Christmas Camp, July 7th, and then Entertainment, they were reporting, the second film is A Merry Christmas Match, of course it is, that's going to be on July 13th, so not exactly July 25th, when Cup of Joe Morning Show will be celebrating Christmas in July, as we should, you know, for those folks below the equator, who, when Christmas, it's summer. But anyway, it's a part of, they call it the Keepsake Christmas Campaign. And they're going to celebrate being halfway to Christmas. Of course they are. You know, we all know what's going to happen, don't we, on the Hallmark Christmas movie. First of the thing, you've got a beautiful young woman in her 20s. She's from the city. She's got a fast-paced lifestyle. She's got to go out to the country somewhere, to some old house. She's got to take care of it. It's in the family. It's grandma's house, you know, and it's got issues and things happen, and she's got to go take care of it. And on her way into town, the car gets car trouble, and she's stuck, and she doesn't know who to call. She probably doesn't even have phone service. She's like, because she's out in such Hickville, right? And she's, you know, mad about that. And lo and behold, here comes help. In a kind of a beat-up old pickup truck, and a guy that's kind of ragtag, but somewhere behind that scraggly beard is a nice guy, and he helps her out, right, and all that. And she doesn't pay him any attention, you know, farmer guy. He's a hick. Well, it doesn't take long before they meet again, because she's helping out with the school play. How am I doing? She's helping out with the school play, and one of his children just happens to be in the play. And, of course, he shows up after all the kids have left. and they kind of get reacquainted. Oh, I helped you out the other day, right? And so anyway, and then it kind of starts in with the fun stuff and the shenanigans and having to meet the family, and she's kind of back and forth. And lo and behold, near the end, an old boyfriend might show up, right? That's a Hallmark Christmas movie, right?
They think I make these things up, and I don't.
Well,
the Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You're as funny as a cry for help.
The Sound of Life.
The 75th anniversary of what is known as D-Day. It was the invasion. I think it was called Operation Overlord then. General Eisenhower was the commander in charge of all of those troops that they made this decision. We're going to go in the south of France, which is heavily fortified by the Nazis at that time. And that's the way we're going to do it. We're going to conquer that beachhead. We're going to move inland, and we're going to keep marching on until we get to Berlin. Basically, that's the way it was. We're going to destroy the Nazis, and that's exactly what they did. People have lamented. I don't know why Germany was a place of incredible fine art, tooling. It still is. If you want a lens, a camera lens, a medical-grade lens, you go to Germany at Storz, or I'm trying to think of the name of the other company. It's just phenomenal. They invented the pocket watch in, what, the 1400s? It's crazy. And yet, because of the leadership of Adolf Hitler and what they got themselves into, they were just going to be destroyed. They knew it was coming. Anyway, today is the 75th anniversary of that landing on the beachhead, that beginning of that. Something you should know is that 23,000 airborne troops were dropped behind enemy lines. That's significant. 132,000 men hit the beaches right there. 7,000 ships. They said when you looked out at daybreak that morning at the ocean, it was just full of ships. That was it. And if you were a German soldier then, you looked out and went, it's over. It's going to be over. In a matter of days, it's going to be over. 12,000 Allied aircraft and 10,000 vehicles. Over 4,000 troops lost their lives that very day. But because of some things that were put in place, the reinforcements couldn't get there. And they got the beachhead and they started marching in, and within days started liberating towns. One thing you should know, and you look on these anniversary days, you'll see right away, they'll show you the white crosses on the cemeteries. A lot of them are American dead soldiers. They're there. Their graves are there. They're all over the world that way. When they came to that land, they were coming to liberate, not to conquer. That's something to always remember and teach that to your kids. They came there to liberate, not to conquer. But they, one of the people that was there, and it's amazing how many people showed up, I think, for the 75th anniversary. 75th anniversary. So if you were fighting, you know, back 75 years ago, now you'd be in your 90s. But one of the men was talking to a reporter out on the beach. His name is Jake Larson. And he's giving an account, and it's pretty graphic. You know, I don't know if he's told this to people. A lot of the soldiers now are opening up and talking the last 20 years. They've been doing this, but for years and years, of course, in their marriage and their kids' lives and stuff, they never said a word about what happened. And a lot of the kids growing up, I didn't. My dad fought in World War II. I mean, he wasn't on the beach in Normandy, but didn't have a story like you're about to hear. But, you know, I'm sure there's stories, but these kinds of stories just didn't get out. But this is very quick, but very powerful.
I stopped for a cigarette behind that berm, and my matches were wet. So I turned to my left, and not 3 feet from me, there was a soldier. And I said, "Buddy, have you got a match?" And he didn't answer. I looked again, and there was no head under the helmet. The soul of that boy inspired me to up at that instant and run for the cliff.
Just some of the stories, very real. I thought I'd share that with you as you're remembering the 75th anniversary of D-Day.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.